You're listening to the Totally Useless Information Podcast on the Nick and Roy channel. Subscribe and share.
What is the most hydrating food that you could eat?
Can kangaroos fart? I'm Nick.
And I'm sick. I'm Roy. And we go out of our way to scour the internet for crazy information that he just said.
You really don't need. Let's find out together what other useless information is out there in this episode of
Totally Useless Information. It's everything you never needed to know. By listening once a week, you get smarter than you think.
The Totally Useless Information Podcast, hosted by Nick and Roy.
And welcome once again to the Totally Useless Information Podcast. And we'd love to hear your feedback. We want to thank everyone for emailing us at TUIPodcast@outlook.com. Hello, Roy. How are you doing today, sir?
Good day from beautiful sunny Florida.
Good day from Toronto, Canada. We are 1,500 miles apart, best friends for 40 years. We have proven that a long-distance relationship does work as long as it's platonic.
As long as we stay far away from each other.
Exactly.
Where do expressions come from?
I don't know where, I don't know where.
Where do expressions come from?
We want to know right now.
On the Totally Useless Information Podcast.
This show is going to pot. Go to pot.
It's legal up here in Canada, but I think you're talking about a different kind of pot.
Yeah, I know. You guys are crazy up there, but whatever. Go to pot. Going to pot. It's a phrase that came about when animals would get old on the farm. They would say they're going to get ready to go into the pot because they're going to get cooked.
Ooh.
So the phrase stuck, you know, don't let yourself get fat or you go in a pot.
Especially the pot-bellied pig.
Yeah. There you go. Wow. So animals that were going into the pot.
Basically, those animals, because they were about to be cooked, were fired. Where does getting fired come from? That's it. You're through, pig. You're out.
You're through, pig.
Getting fired. The phrase started in the 1910s. The NCR company. Patterson, he often dismissed his employees for trivial reasons.
What?
The employees and customers branded him as abusive and confrontational. And today's standards, there's no way he could survive because of HR and all that. Patterson once dismissed an executive, and this is where getting fired comes from. He dismissed this executive because he didn't like the way he was doing things. So he sent him out to talk to one of his clients. And when he came back, this guy, this former employee, found his desk had been thrown on the front lawn in flames.
And set on fire. So he got fired.
He got fired.
Oh, my God. I guess you could say that that guy leaving the job was a good thing. So he won with flying colors. It is a nautical term. And what would happen was when the ships would go out to battle, if they were victorious, when they would sail home to their home port, they would place all of their flags up, all of their colors, so that the people knew that they were victorious in the battle. So they would say they won with flying colors.
That's wonderful. I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on a shoestring budget, because you can't afford all of those flags on your ship. I'll take horrible segues for 100, Alex. Shoestring budget. So this is what happened. The wandering peddlers would sell or trade small items like needles and pots and shoelaces. Made a meager income as they charged little for their wares. And some people believed that the origin of the connection of the term shoestring to a small amount of money. And further to that, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary found the first use of the word as an adjective in 1859, a shoestring budget.
Wow, I'll have to earmark that one. I'll take segues for 800, Alex.
Double jeopardy.
Earmark. To earmark something, we all know that term. It's actually a term that was used by cattle ranchers. They would mark the ears of their cattle so they could distinguish their cattle from someone else's. And of course, you couldn't replace their ears, so the mark was always there. So they would identify their ownership or their farm by the mark on the cow's ear. And so they'd say, that cow was earmarked.
Get on the bandwagon. We've heard that before, sometimes used in sports phrases. Get on the bandwagon if a team is doing well, and get off the bandwagon if they're beginning to lose. The word bandwagon was coined in the USA in the mid-19th century. Simply, it was the name for the wagon that carried a circus band. Phineas T. Barnum used the term in 1855. And so what would happen is the circus workers were skilled at attracting the public with the razzmatazz of a parade through town. So they decorated these bandwagons. In the late 19th century, politicians picked up this form of attracting a crowd, and they said, hey, wait a minute, using these bandwagons was a great way to campaign for office. So the figurative use was complete by Teddy Roosevelt, who said, when I once became sure of one majority, they tumbled over each other to get aboard the bandwagon. It was so the politicians were the ones who used the bandwagons.
Well, before we say goodbye to the expression portion of the show, where did the term goodbye come from? Goodbye came about by the combining of the word God, be, with, ye, meaning you. God be with ye. And just through time, instead of saying God be with ye, it got shortened to goodbye.
So goodbye to the expressions portions of our show.
Where do the expressions come from?
I don't know where, I don't know where.
Where do the expressions come from? We want to know right now.
On the Totally Useless Information Podcast, send us an email, TUIpodcast@outlook.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you have some suggestions or if you want some clarifications on some of the useless information we sent your way, and sometimes that happens, we'd love to hear from you. You know what it's time for. Look, look, look over there. Look over there. Look over there.
Animals, 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 crazy animals.
Crazy. You know that deer, they're missing something that mammals have. Deer are missing something that most mammals have.
I don't know. What is it?
It is a gallbladder. Deer do not have a gallbladder. They're one of the only mammals that do not have a gallbladder. And we don't really use our gallbladder, but it just stayed there. I mean, we use it, but very little. And through time, you'd think that it would disappear, but apparently it did in the deer.
Very much like your appendix. You don't need it, but it's there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it tells you when it's time to go.
We use our, I don't want the people to write in now that we don't use our gallbladders, because we do. It digests fat and so on. So, but we don't use them the way we used to use them years ago. So I just want people to know that as a disclaimer. Otherwise, I'm going to get some crazy email.
So what you're telling the fine people with that disclaimer is, do not believe any medical information we send your way.
If you want to believe everything, do not tune into this show.
To the show, but just don't listen to what we tell you to do medically, because it'll kill you. And we need all the help we can get.
Probably.
Have you ever been hypnotized, by the way? I have to ask you that. Have you ever been hypnotized?
No, I haven't. Go ahead.
It is possible to hypnotize a frog by placing it on his back and gently stroking its stomach.
That's just plain sick.
But it works for me, though. Just lay me on my back and rub my belly, and I am out. To hypnotize a lizard or a frog, actually, because the lizard's got in there too, put it on its back and hold it for a few seconds, and it will just fall asleep.
Wow.
Hello?
Yeah. You know, hello?
Oh.
I'm hypnotized. Listen, you know that the bat, the bat is the only mammal that can fly.
Oh, I love that one. How about this one? We talk about frogs. Let's stay with frogs. Frogs cannot vomit.
What?
Even if it's hypnotized. If it has to, it will vomit its entire stomach contents. They eject their entire stomach. If a frog eats something toxic, it can't eject its stomach content. So what it does is just throws everything up. Not just the contents, throws everything, just the whole stomach. If the frog gets sick, it throws away its stomach. And yeah, it's like dumping out your pockets, really.
Jeez. Sort of. It's pretty horrible. You know that the male songbird can sing up to 2,000 times a day. It can sing its song up to 2,000 times a day. And female songbirds disagree with that, of course. No, but a male songbird can sing its song 2,000 times a day. Pretty short song.
Yes. It's the song that never ends. Here's my teaser. Kangaroos cannot fart.
Oh, my God.
Well, they do, actually, but they're known as green farts. Okay?
Even worse.
Nearly all animals burp and fart. Kangaroos, however, are special. The gas that they pass is easy on the planet, so they might call it green because it contains less methane and emissions from other grass grazers, such as cows and goats. Scientists now credit the ruse low methane toots to the bacteria living inside the digestive tracts. So they do kind of fart, but they don't have as much methane, so they don't stink.
Technically, they don't fart. Right. Saying the words, the quick brown fox jumps over a lazy dog, does what? It uses every letter in the alphabet.
Yes. You know what? Now that you said this, I remember in typing class, this is what we had to practice.
Quick brown fox jumps over a lazy dog is every single letter in the alphabet.
Okay. Well, here's an animal that doesn't read. Another horrible segue. Giraffes do not have any vocal cords. Okay, so hold on. I want you to hear this. Here is some audio of a giraffe. You hear that? Call that. Let me play it for you again. I'll play it louder. Hold on. Okay, got it. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
No. Because they don't have vocal cords.
God, so the reason I wish sometimes you were a giraffe.
Giraffes do have a voice box, but perhaps they don't produce the sufficient airflow through their 13-foot-long trachea to vibrate the vocal folds like humans have to make noises. So the researchers suspected the reason no one heard a giraffe communicate was because the sound frequency was too low for humans to hear. So I actually was playing some giraffe audio. You just couldn't hear it because the frequencies are too low.
Hmm. You know, if you hold a kangaroo's tail up in the air, if you hold it up, I don't know why anybody would want to do that.
To help it fart, no?
I guess to look up his old address. But, you know, I mean, if you lift a tail of a kangaroo up in the air, the kangaroo is immobilized. He cannot jump. He uses his tail to jump.
That's cool.
Yes.
Wow. All right. So the next time I'm in Australia, I will prevent a kangaroo from
look up a
jumping.
Kangaroo's buttocks.
No, it doesn't. A cow gives nearly 200,000 glasses of milk in a lifetime.
What?
The average dairy cow produces 22.5 quarts or 90 glasses of milk a day. Yes, that's a lot of milk.
Wow.
The average dairy cow is milked for 20 minutes from start to finish, and they're milked 2 to 3 times a day. 200,000 glasses of milk in a lifetime. And when they are milked, it's actually a relief for them because the dairy cow's udder can hold 25
to... Udder what? Udder what?
I will repeat. The dairy cow's udder can hold 25 to 50 pounds of milk. So when it's milk, it's going, oh, thank goodness that's over.
Yeah. That's crazy, though. You don't think that, see? And that is useful information. And before we close out animals, I'm going to give you this one last one. Right. In Alaska, it is illegal. You will go to jail. You will be incarcerated. And it's not a joke. If you whisper in someone's ear while they're moose hunting, how do you arrest the person? What do? Walk over and go, excuse me, you're under arrest. And then they have to arrest themselves.
That's right. They give themselves a ticket. Here's a bonus animal one. Bonus, because you're talking about the Arctic.
Yes.
Nearly 3% of the ice, the Antarctic glaciers, is penguin urine.
What?
Nearly 3% of the ice in the Antarctic glaciers is penguin urine.
All right. Now I'm pissed.
I'd rather be pissed off than pissed on. Welcome to Penguin Piss Antarctica.
Animal, crazy animal.
You're listening to the Totally Useless Information Podcast. You can simply email us at tuipodcast@outlook.com. I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy, and you're in a good place.
You're in Antarctica. There you go. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Do you hear that? Do you hear that grumbling? My stomach is grumbling. You know what it's hungry for?
Hungry.
It's hungry for...
Hey, everybody. Come and get it. Your weekly sweet and savory facts with your five-star Michelin chefs of totally useless information, Nick and Roy. Come and get it!
Talk about somebody who sounds pissed.
Yeah.
Dinner's on the table. Do not be late, so get right to it. Processed cheese was invented in, now you might think, America, right? Because American cheese is yellow cheese, right? American cheese when you go to the deli?
You would think, right.
No, it was invented in Switzerland.
Yeah, Swiss cheese.
Yes, or Cheese Whiz.
Oh.
So, no, you remember the song All I Do Is Dream by the Everly Brothers? They sang about Cheese Whiz. Check this out.
Only trouble is
Gee Whiz.
I'm dreaming my life away.
Trouble is Swiss Cheese Whiz.
Yeah. It didn't fit the music, so they did this instead.
Only trouble is
Cheese Whiz. There you go. So the Everly Brothers sang about Cheese
Whiz. That proves it right there. That's fact.
Well, no, it's not. But it turns out that the Swiss came up with the idea first. You would think, right, Switzerland. But according to the Michigan Dairy Review, Walter Gerber and Fritz Stettler invented the processed cheese in Switzerland in 1911 in order to improve the shelf life of the product before it was shipped overseas. And therefore, they processed the cheese to keep the shelf life going on and on and on.
One Big Mac or one McDonald's hamburger contains the meat of at least 100 cows. The meat is so mixed up that at least 100 cows are in one burger.
Wow.
And who said that it wasn't 100% beef?
Exactly. Fortune cookies come from
the fairy. The cookie fairy? The Keebler elves. The Keebler elves!
No. According to historians at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History, the creator of the fortune cookie was Suichi Okamura, a Japanese immigrant who ran a confectionery store in Northern California in the 1900s. So when Japanese Americans were sent to internment camps during World War II, Chinese Americans seized the opportunity to take control of the fortune cookie industry. And that's why you see so many cookies in Chinese restaurants today. So the Chinese basically stole the idea and opened up one of those cookies.
Talk about intellectual property.
Yes. Exactly. They opened one up and they said, you're going to make a fortune with these cookies. And that's what they were called. No, I don't know if that's why they were called fortune cookies. But it was a Japanese immigrant who invented the fortune cookie.
Mm. You know a Cinnabon? I love Cinnabons.
Just by you saying that, I could smell it now.
I love them. I was just walking through the mall the other day, and there was a pretzel place who actually has Cinnabon and the pretzel place.
Oh my God.
I looked at the Cinnabon, and my wife looked at me, and she was like, no. Sounds like a lot of things she says, no. Okay, Cinnabon.
So hold on. So what happened? So when she went shopping, you turned back, and you got one, right?
Yeah, I was like, oh, you know, I saw something in that store back there. And then I come back with all like Cinnabon all over my face like an animal.
Did you have a Cinnabon? No.
No. Listen, a Cinnabon has less sugar than a 20-ounce bottle of Pepsi.
No, really? Wow. So wait a minute. So the next time your wife says no, you can tell her it's good for me. When you mentioned McDonald's, so if you go to McDonald's, what do you usually have with your hamburger? Fries, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many fries that are served in fast food restaurants that, well, you need more ketchup. You put ketchup on your fries, right?
Yes.
Most North Americans do. Up here in Canada, some put vinegar.
Ooh, of course you put malt vinegar. Yeah, I love it.
Delicious. Yeah. So you need so much sauce, and that little cup doesn't hold much.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the little cup that. Okay, so this is what you do. There's a purpose for the folds of the paper in which they're made, because when you unfold the paper container, it becomes a small plate that may contain more sauce.
I think that's a bunch of bull. Somebody just ripped the damn thing open and threw ketchup in there.
Listen, that was really useful information. So next time you go to a fast food,
that's what I use. That's what I use the bag for. I fill it with ketchup. All right, brought up the fortune cookies, right? So let's talk about Chinese food. Let's talk about a Chinese buffet, okay?
All right, yes.
What do you think the caloric content is per plate that you come back to the table with on average at a Chinese buffet?
I'm pretty sure it's high because every time I go, I'm just stuffed to the gills. Like
Before you answer, understand... Yes. That the average person goes back 3 times to the buffet table.
So they go back 3 times. So you're asking me how many calories does one of those trips to the buffet table has? How many calories?
Or if you can add 3 to that.
Yes, I did go to the same high school in New York City. That's right. So I have to take carry the 1, carry the 2. I'm going to say per plate, 1,500 calories for a total of about 4,500 calories in one night's Chinese buffet session.
It's actually 1,000 per plate.
Okay.
And it is 3,000 calories the average person eats. So that means me and Nick probably eat about 25,000.
I was correct. It's 1,500 calories Canadian.
Yes. In fact, when I go to a Chinese buffet, after about an hour or two, they walk over and they go, you go home.
Send your letters of complaints to TUIPodcast@outlook.com.
What is the most hydrating food you could eat? And that would be a cucumber, 96% water.
That's amazing. That's pretty cool. So the next time you're thirsty, drink a cucumber.
You can cut 2 pieces and put them on your eyes too. Bring down the swelling.
So if you look at your pasta spoon in your kitchen drawers, there's a hole in the pasta spoon. And many people use it to filter excess water from the sauce from the pasta. But no, it has a real purpose. Using the hole in the pasta spoon is used to determine the portion of dry pasta necessary for each of the diners. avoiding preparing more than you have, and to help eaters not exceed the size of their plates or their stomachs.
Cool. That's very cool. I got one. Now, of course, we're going to go into the realm of disgusting food again, because I love doing it. Ranch dressing. You like ranch dressing?
Delicious.
You like it. Ranch dressing contains titanium dioxide. That's wonderful, which makes it whiter. But that's also used in sunscreen and paint.
I don't see a problem with that. You go out, you have a salad. It's a healthy salad with ranch dressing.
Sure.
And you can apply the ranch dressing on your arms to avoid sunburn.
Yeah. They're like, would you like a little titanium dioxide on your chicken wings?
Hey, speaking of Taco Bell.
Oh, yes. Speaking of.
The Taco Bell was named after its owner, Glenn Bell. And I don't know if you remember the little dog, the little chihuahua.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Quiero Taco Bell.
Yes.
Taco Bell has a big bell in its logo, but the fast food chain didn't take its name from that musical instrument that I just played. Instead, the restaurant was named after its owner, Glenn Bell, who opened the first Bell's Drive-In and Taco Tia in San Bernardino, California in 1954.
That's pretty cool. Okay, keeping with the disgusting, red food coloring. We all love red food coloring, don't we?
Along with my ranch dressing.
Jelly beans, things like that. Well, red food coloring is made red through a thing called carmine. Carmine. It's made by boiling the cochineal bug. It's a type of beetle. And when they boil it, the red comes out of it. And it's used for one particular candy, especially the ever-popular Red Skittles. Oh, my God.
Wonderful.
I'll take a little titanium dioxide with that.
The kitchen is now closed. Join us next time on the Totally Useless Information Podcast for more sweet and savory morsels of useless food information.
See you real soon.
You're listening to the Totally Useless Information Podcast. Here's some fun facts here, okay? Some fun facts for you to digest, even though we just did the food segment. But some fun facts that we can throw around. The percentage of bird species that are monogamous, 90%.
What? Here's a good one. True or false? Okay. McDonald's calls frequent buyers heavy users.
I'm going to say true.
It is true. That's terrible.
Have it should you, be.
I'm not it going should. There anymore. That's it. I mean, could you imagine, you know, if that's the case, Wendy's, what do they call them? Fat bastards? What? I
mean, more fat users. Then they go to Walmart. Did you ever see those pictures on the internet?
Yeah.
Okay. If you go to McDonald's, then you're probably going to have French fries, as we mentioned. The portion of potatoes sold that are French fried, 33% of potatoes sold are French fried.
Wow, that's cool. The average person, fun facts, folks, we go fast. The average person spends 6 months of their life waiting for red lights to turn green.
I'm still waiting. Hang on. Now it's my turn. The portion of ice cream sold that is vanilla, that yummy, delicious beaver excrement, is 1/3. 33%. 33% of ice cream sold is vanilla.
That was in one of our shows. Vanilla uses the excrement from the anus of a beaver. So, I mean, that was one of the disgusting food facts. Okay, there are more life forms living on your skin than there are people on the planet Earth.
Yummy. the only U.S. president to remain a bachelor was James Buchanan.
Southern sea otters have a flap or a pocket under their foreleg where they place rocks and food while diving. So the Southern sea otter has built-in pockets in its body.
The only first lady to carry a loaded revolver was Eleanor Roosevelt, carried a fully loaded revolver. That's in case James Buchanan came knocking on her door.
Mm-hmm. These times are a changing. You want to hear a justice, a story of true justice? This is justice the way it should be. In 1386, a pig was hung in the town square because he was found guilty of injuring a child. Oh, I'm sorry. No, he didn't injure the child. He murdered the child. So, he murdered the child, and so he was hung in 1386. What jury found the pig guilty? And did they find him guilty of murder one, premeditated? Was it manslaughter? Nah, they went right for the hanging.
That's right.
And the justice part of that story is that after that, everybody had baby back ribs and pork chops.
There you go. Well, you know what? We had so much fun that it's time to go.
It flies. This show, the information that you get, it's important. So tune in and definitely email us. Nick, the email address is?
EUIpodcast@outlook.com.
And we're sorry, folks, but that's all the time that we have for this edition of the Totally Useless Information Podcast.
We will have more for you next time.
So, in the meantime, tell a friend about the trend.
I'm Nick.
And I'm not. I'm Roy.
Thanks for listening.